This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Friday, May 3, 2013. The Associated Press reports that a bill to double renewable energy requirements for rural energy suppliers awaits Governor Hickenlooper's signature. The bill, Senate Bill 252, requires Colorado's rural cooperative electric associations to get 20% of their energy from renewable sources by 2020. Up from 10%. The standard is still below what's required by investor-owned utilities, which serve most Coloradans. Those utilities must head toward a 30% renewable energy standard. The rural co-op measure passed the House and Senate despite vigorous opposition from Republicans. Lawmakers rectified differences on Wednesday. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the bill is being challenged by the association that will be most affected, Tri-State Generation and Transmission. Six Western Slope Power co-ops are members of Tri-State, including San Miguel Power and Delta Montrose Electric Associations. DMEA recently passed a motion to support the bill, but only if it were amended to allow local co-ops like DMEA to generate up to 50% of their own renewable power. DMEA is set to launch two hydroelectric projects in the next couple of months, but it has eyes on another source of renewable energy, tapping trapped coal bed methane in mines found in its service area. Senate Bill 252 expands the definition of renewable sources to include coal bed methane. It also includes synthetic gas produced by pyrolysis on municipal solid waste, another potential way DMEA could generate renewable energy. DMEA's board president Nancy Hovde told the Daily Sentinel that adding the upcoming hydroelectric projects could save the association $1 million this year. Officials with Tri-State testified that the bill could cost them between $2 and $4 billion. Tri-State spokesman Jim Van Summeren said meeting the new renewable standard, if it becomes law, quote, would be such a huge undertaking that I can't even speculate as to how we would begin approaching it. The Montrose Daily Press reports that a small plane crash-landed on U.S. 50 in North Delta Thursday morning, but the pilot survived without injury and no motorists were compromised. Delta police officers, along with Delta Fire and the Colorado State Patrol, responded to the 1300 block of U.S. 50 at about 11:30 yesterday morning when motorists called in the crash landing. Officers found a small blue-and-white single-engine Cessna 182 resting on the highway's shoulder with a single occupant who was apparently unharmed. Delta Police Department spokeswoman Jamie Head said the plane was flying from Grand Junction when it experienced engine trouble that caused power failure. The pilot was rerouted to the Delta Airport but was forced to try to land about 3 miles shy of the airfield. Opting for the westbound lane of Highway 50, the pilot clipped a power line on the way down and also lost a wheel from his landing gear. He was, however, able to maintain control of the aircraft until it hit a fence, and no vehicles were hit. Half the roadway was closed for about 2 hours, and the two eastbound lanes were converted to single-lane traffic during that time. Head said the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating and has the Delta Police Department and asked the Delta Police Department to not release the pilot's name. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the FAA airplane registry indicates the airplane is owned by the Colorado Flight Center, a flight school based at the Grand Junction Regional Airport. Also from the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, reports that state health officials have issued a compliance advisory to Williams, saying the company has violated state laws for the leak of thousands of gallons of natural gas liquids into groundwater and Parachute Creek near the town of Parachute. The Hazardous Materials and Waste Management Division of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment on Tuesday issued an official notification to the owner of the property, WPX Energy, and the operator of the pipeline, Bargath LLC, that the state has determined the leak constitutes disposal of hazardous waste without a hazardous waste permit. Bargath is a subsidiary of Williams. The state's advisory comes on the heels of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission notices of alleged violation to Williams and WPX on March 20th. The compliance advisory encourages Williams officials to meet with the Hazardous Materials and Waste Management Division to develop a schedule for cleaning up the leak. The optional meeting would also be an opportunity for Williams officials to demonstrate that the spill isn't a violation of state hazardous waste laws. Violating those laws can result in administrative penalties of up to $15,000 per violation per day, or a civil penalty of up to $25,000 per violation per day. Williams has estimated that roughly 10,000 gallons of natural gas liquids has leaked into the ground from a pipeline leaving Williams' gas processing plant near Parachute. Benzene has been found in both groundwater and Parachute Creek. On Wednesday, for the first time, one test revealed levels that exceed the state's drinking water standard for benzene at 5.3 parts per billion. The Boulder Daily Camera reports that the University of Colorado and NASA are inviting members of the public to submit their names and a personal message for a DVD that will be carried aboard a spacecraft that will probe the Martian upper atmosphere. NASA's Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution, or MAVEN, spacecraft, is scheduled to launch in November. The DVD will carry every name that is submitted. The public is also encouraged to submit a message in the form of a three-line poem, or haiku. However, only three poems will be selected. The deadline for all submissions is July 1st. An online public vote to determine the top three messages to be placed on the DVD will begin July 15th. MAVEN is the first spacecraft devoted to exploring and understanding the Martian upper atmosphere. The spacecraft will investigate how the loss of Mars' atmosphere to space determined the history of water on the surface. The public may submit names and messages at lasp.colorado.edu/MAVEN/going to Mars. I'll post that URL on the KVNF website after the news this morning with today's headlines and the audio of this broadcast. Each year, thousands of Colorado birders celebrate International Migratory Bird Day on the second Saturday in May. This year's date is May 11th. Data from the Association of Colorado Field Ornithologists shows that more than 480 species of birds have been documented in Colorado. That puts the state seventh on the list of states with the most bird species. California and Texas, with more than 630 bird species each, are the top two. But what makes Colorado unique is that it does not have an ocean coastline that harbors shorebirds. International Migratory Bird Day was created specifically to highlight birds that move between nesting grounds in North America and non-breeding areas in South and Central America and the Caribbean. Some species in Colorado migrate in elevation by moving between the plains and the mountains. On the other extreme, the white-rumped sandpiper is a world traveler. It spends the winter on beaches in Argentina, hopscotches from wetland to wetland across the Americas, and nests on the tundra of the high Arctic. Sounds cool. You might be interested to know that one of the longest nonstop flights ever recorded was reported by National Geographic. According to a New Zealand researcher, a female bar-tailed godwit flew over 7,100 miles nonstop from Alaska to New Zealand. The bird flew for 9 days straight without stopping for food or water. For more information about upcoming birdwatching festivals and field trips in Colorado, visit the Colorado Birding Trail website at coloradobirdingtrail.com. Finally, it's Friday, and the state legislative session has only a few days left, and it seems on track to end on a high note. Colorado lawmakers are running out of time to talk about pot. Here's a look at what's on their plate, or perhaps more apropos, what's loaded in their bowl. pulled from the Denver Post. A Senate committee is expected to vote today on sweeping bills to regulate and tax marijuana. Lawmakers have until Wednesday to agree on regulations and tax rates for the newly legal drug. But the legislature is still bickering over whether to set a marijuana blood limit for drivers and whether to require a limit on the size of marijuana growing operations and the number of pot shops. Even if the Senate Finance Committee advances the regulations and taxes today, the full Senate must still debate the bills. Senators may find themselves working an unusual weekend to get the job done. Yesterday, Colorado lawmakers introduced yet another proposal, the sixth in 3 years, to set a definition of driving while stoned. The new proposal comes amid fears that a stoned driving limit currently contained in a separate major bill could scuttle that entire bill and undo months of tedious work creating a framework for the forthcoming legal pot retail industry. House Bill 1325 landed on a day when the Colorado legislature was already stretched pretty thin by marijuana. At the same time a House committee was hearing HB 1325, a Senate committee was taking public testimony on the regulations bill, House Bill 1317, and yet another House committee was hearing testimony on a separate, less contentious bill on rules for recreational marijuana. The Senate Finance Committee ultimately ran out of time on House Bill 1317 and a bill on marijuana taxes. It will take up both of those bills again today. House Bill 1325, the new stoned driving bill, passed unanimously in committee, as did the less significant rules bill, Senate Bill 283. But the Senate has always presented the greater challenge for the idea of a stoned driving law. The bill sets a limit of active THC, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, that drivers can have in their blood before juries could presume them to be stoned. Lawmakers in the Senate have killed similar proposals 4 times in the last 3 years, including earlier this year when a bill on stoned driving died in a Senate committee. Also, marijuana magazines are under scrutiny in Colorado. Lawmakers might require stores to put them behind the counter. The unusual provision to treat pot magazines like pornography was considered Thursday in a Senate committee. If approved, the provision would make Colorado the first state to require stores that allow entry to shoppers under 21 to place pot magazines behind the counter. A decision was expected today on the proposal, which was added in a late-night amendment last week and caught Senate sponsors by surprise. A lawyer for High Times magazine called the magazine restriction patently unconstitutional and said the magazine would likely sue if the provision becomes law. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.